It's always fun to sit down before the service and then turn around and look and see how many people have arrived since I sat down. So glad to see you this morning, but I gotta tell you, I got totally wrecked with Wesley. So he can open for this anytime. I mean, that child. And of course, those of you who know Faith and Grace Calvinese know what amazing young women they are. So those words are like straight from God's voice through her. And then Wesley, oh my goodness. You know, they say that, the authorities say, that when babies are born, they remember where they came from. That they are the closest to remembering God as we ever are in our whole lives. That may or may not be true, but I say yeah. Because why not? And I have a story that goes with that. First of all, you do see babies, you know, listening sometimes when you're not really sure what they're listening to. And it's a beautiful thing because you can see a peace in their faces. My twin sons, I asked permission to tell this story as long as I didn't disclose which one it was. When they were about three, gotten home from a busy day at church, picked them up at preschool, brought them home, they were in their car seats in the back seat, and I was unbuckling them to take them out, and suddenly one of them just burst into tears. And I said, sweetie, what's the matter? He said, I can't hear the angels anymore. Well, that's what I did. And I said, well, honey, they are still there. Even if you can't hear them, the angels are still there. He was heartbroken. But before I got them out of the car, he suddenly got a real peaceful look on his face, and he went, oh, Mom, it's okay. I can hear God. He didn't remember that story, of course, until I reminded him about it and asked him if I could speak about it this morning. And he said, wow, I did that? I said, yes, my almost 21-year-old son. And don't forget it. So there is that. And there are moments that we have in our adult lives in which we start to remember what we forgot. We grow up in this world and we get fascinated by it, don't we? And we believe in its illusions. And we believe in some outward things that we see as being the truth rather than what's in here. We start to believe that bad health and war and poverty and bad relationships and not enough are real. They are real as much as they exist in this outer world, but they're not the greater truth. And I know that's a little hard to grasp because the reality that we see out here seems so very real. But then you have moments like we just had with Wesley. Did you feel your remembering? Did you feel that moment in which there was nothing but the voice of God through a child? And we see examples of this out in the world. For example, people who are in memory care facilities who have lost their contact with this exterior world. They have an interior life that we don't understand completely. But if we bring them pets, they begin to remember, become present to something that brought them joy in the past and is bringing them joy now. And there are ministries where people take baby dolls in blankets and hand them to people who are in these facilities. And when they hold these baby dolls, they begin to remember that sweetness of life. And that outer thing is the link to enrich inner life. I know that when my dad had a couple of strokes this last year, after he got over the initial part of the stroke, both times he went into a delirium encephalopathy. So there's your free 50-cent word for the day, in which he was not present, combative, agitated, hallucinating. It was so difficult to watch him. And I knew that that was not my dad that I was seeing. It was the result of the scrambled eggs that were his brain for a few days. And so we've tried to find ways to comfort him and soothe him so that he could rest. If I could get a hold of part of his body, like his legs, and start rocking him, he would calm down. Because he remembered. He remembered that ancient rhythm. The ancient rhythm that anybody who's ever held a baby knows. Anybody who's been moved in prayer knows. The prayer at the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall in Jerusalem, knows. And if I began to sing to him Baptist hymns from my youth, he would get real quiet and sing along with me. And if I sang him some of the love songs from the 40s that I used to hear him sing to my mom, he'd sing along. He's got a beautiful voice. So we sang and sang and sang my dad back to remembering who he was. So there's a music thing. And so we're in our lives all the time trying to get back to remembering, to get back to remembering, because that's where the truth lies. And one of the main ways that we do that is through prayer. Now, if I said, let's pray right now, I know what you'd do. You close your eyes and you take a deep breath and you'd settle in your chair and get ready. And that's a good thing. You're very obedient that way. No, that's a response that we have to let's pray. It doesn't matter who. But there are ways that we can pray so that we begin to remember how to do it in our everyday waking moments. If you need to pray while you're driving, you're sure not going to take a deep breath and close your eyes. Please, don't do that. If you're at work and you don't want people to think you're weird, you're probably not going to sit and meditate in your office. You might. But if we begin to practice in our quiet moments what prayer is at its deepest level, we begin to exercise the muscle of prayer, I'll call it, so that when we need to pray, when we really, really need to pray, it's there like that. And so there are a few easy steps. Yesterday, Kit and I met with your prayer team and your chaplain. We had an astounding afternoon with each other because we talked about the foundation of prayer that is in this church. Do you know that you have a team of people praying for you all the time? Did you know that? If you didn't know that, doesn't it feel wonderful to know that? If you did know that, this is a good reminder for you. There are people praying for you all the time. And we reinforced that yesterday because there's a powerful presence of prayer in this church. And so as Kit and I talked about the steps of prayer, she is bringing it from a Centers for Spiritual Living religious science background. I'm coming from the Unity background. And guess what? They're exactly the same because they came from New Thought. And so what we do is we sink into that place or rise into that place, whatever works for you. We go into that place in which we acknowledge the presence of God. We acknowledge and we begin to dwell in it. And then we begin to know the truth of the circumstances of our life, which are usually the opposite of what we think our life is about. If you're having a struggle with your health, then you go into prayer affirming that good health is your divine birthright. And you pray that until you can feel it. You rest there. You give thanks. And then you let it go. You release it. We sing a song every Sunday. I release and I let go. That's the last thing we sing before we walk out of here. So if we practice that in moments when we need it, for ourselves and for others, then prayer becomes a little bit easier for us to be able to pray on the spot. Now, you may say, okay, I have got a problem with my health and I'm praying that prayer, but I don't feel any different. Did you ever think that? Just asking. Did you ever think that prayer didn't make a bit of difference? I have. When I thought I didn't have enough in my life, I come out of the prayer and I get scared again. You know what that means? Pray some more. That means pray. That's what Myrtle Fillmore, I'd like to think that Myrtle Fillmore actually founded Unity and Charles just came along for the ride and then wrote some brilliant things. Because I happen to like the way Myrtle thinks and prays and talks. And she prayed herself consistently out of tuberculosis. Now, here's the thing. Not just about health. About your abundance. About your relationships. About your work. About your living situation. About your frustrations with this or that in your life. When you pray about these things, it's important to hold to the truth and not to the outcome. I'm going to take the very hardest one for us to pray about. If we have a beloved that is in the process of the end of their life, we don't want them to go. Is it fair for us to pray for them not to die? It's not fair to them. That's a decision between them and God. And so we pray to know the truth that whatever is in store for them, God is with them. God is there. God is present in them every day, every moment, walking with them in everything. We know that truth. We know it. And so affirmative prayer is not denying that a condition exists. Sometimes we have to acknowledge what condition exists in order for us to get back to the place of truth about it. These are very basic prayer techniques. Because the truth is, God is not out there impetuously snatching people off the planet. I don't believe God does that. I don't understand why there is poverty and death in children who die too soon. I don't understand that. But I affirm that God is with every single person. God is present in every single situation. I open my heart that I might understand better and serve where I am called to serve. But our prayers are not about asking, because that's saying that God's fullness is not available. The fullness of our wholeness is already available. Everything that we knew as babies coming fresh from God is still present within us. And we will be amazed when we tap into a truth that we forgot. Gosh, I had some notes about today. They don't seem to be coming out of my mouth. Let me check. First of all, I just wanted to let you know that you can go online. You can talk with Cherie in the bookstore. Here's three little Unity books. Teach Us to Pray by Charles and Cora Fillmore. Cora was Charles's second wife after Myrtle died. Teach Us to Pray. Gosh, what a good book if you want to know how to pray. My dog loved this book and chewed the corner of it. Really good. I think that's what happened in my 12 Powers book. I had a book on the 12 Powers, and I think my dog got it. Very powerful dog. How to Use the Power of Prayer, old-time minister Harold Sherman. Oh, the great poet in Unity, James Dillett Freeman, Prayer is the Master Key. Beautiful readings in this book. And if I had more time, I'd just read to you out of all of them. But I want you to know that they're available, and they're good reading. Good reading. Sometimes it's good for us to get back to that old language because it moves our minds in a different way and helps us to understand things differently. So, here we go. We find the quiet place. We acknowledge the presence of God. We affirm the truth. We give thanks. We release and let go. And we are never, ever, 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 ever separate from God. Ever. In our worst moments, we are not separate from God. Now, let's say that you wanted somebody to help you out because you can't get to that truth. Life circumstances are weighing on you so heavy that you just can't break through to that peaceful place. You ask for help. Now, if you've had a problem asking for help in your life, you are sitting right here in a spiritual laboratory in which you get to practice doing that. All of you sitting right here are here by divine appointment. And you're sitting here with each other because you support each other in your spiritual growth. It doesn't matter if you know each other or not. Have you ever been asked to pray for somebody you didn't know? Did you have to know what they look like? Where they live? Did you have to know exactly what their circumstance was? No, your heart just opens up. Of course I'll pray for that person. Of course I will. The same thing is available to you. Because sometimes we need prayer partners to be to shore us up and to know the truth for us until we can grab hold of it for ourselves. That's what we do for each other. That's why a spiritual community is so important to us. And do you know that sometimes all it takes for you to pray for somebody else is this? God, Jerry, God, Marlene, God, packed. Sometimes that's all it takes. Did you get that prayer? Did you get that prayer? Did you get that prayer? So if somebody comes flying through your mind, pay attention. And you just say God and that person's name. It lands, my friends. That prayer lands exactly where it needs to. And sometimes when we are struggling with something in our lives, because we've all got our struggles. Some of them are lifetime struggles that we keep circling back around to, going, dang, or words to that effect. I thought I had already handled this, and here it is again. Sometimes that thing that we're struggling with that we may or may not be able to utter to another person. We have a method here for you, just for you. Just for anybody who walks through these doors. You have my permission to turn around and look on the back table at our beautiful new prayer box. Go ahead. If you can turn around, Leah will gladly display it for you. Beautiful prayer box. And it has a lock on it. So that you can write down anything, anything that you're willing to start letting go of and relinquishing to the power of God, to the power of the truth, to the power of prayer. Anything. Nobody will see what's in that box. Your prayer team knows that that box has got the hearts of people in it. Your prayer team, your chaplains, they're going to visualize that box. They're going to give that box a gentle touch, just like I gave Terry. They're going to hold that in their hearts and their minds. Because we don't need to know what's in there to pray for people, do we? And you. If you put a prayer request in there, you have already begun to let go of what troubles you. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is. It doesn't matter if it's for you or for another. Because sometimes there's things we don't want to admit. Sometimes we're caregivers for people, and some days we just can't take it anymore. Until we get up the next day and do it again. You put that struggle in your prayer box, right? Your prayer box. You've got an addiction or something that's got a hold of your life in which you can find no peace around it. You write it down because writing that down is your first step in saying, I'm ready to let this go. And I need a little support around it. Put it in that box. And it will be there. It will be there until it fills up, or 30 days, whichever comes first. If I preached it good today, that's bad grammar, but if I, I'm still going to say it, if I preached it good today, that box might get full today. And don't be looking over each other's shoulders. And don't be wondering, I wonder what their prayer request is. Yeah. Get to be the church lady. If you watch Saturday Night Live a few decades ago, you know what I'm talking about. That is a sacred thing. So let's give each other peace and respect, privacy. As we let go. Because we are stepping up another notch, my friends, and I know you feel it. We are moving up to the next level of our spiritual growth, and when we do that, we find more things to let go of. Sorry. Not sorry. Because that's the way our spiritual growth works. You've been around this bin a few times. You know that if you say, God, okay, I'm ready to have more patience. I affirm patience within me. I know that the patience of God lives within me, and I see all others with compassion and patience. Yeah, you just wait. You just wait if you pray for patience. Mm-mm-mm. Spirit is going to let you practice that. And you just keep affirming, oh, the patience of God lives within me. Yes, it does. And you pray that prayer for health, and your body is ailing you. Take a moment. Listen to some music that moves you. I recommend Beethoven's 7th, the 2nd movement. Just saying. Listen to that. Listen to the birds. Turn on some meditative music that has rain or ocean waves in it. Get yourself to a body of water. Get yourself in the presence of a cat or a dog that will be your blankie for a little while. Any of you have blanky cats? Blanky dogs? Be happy to sit in your lap, no matter how big or small they are. Find that place where just for a moment you remember that something else bigger exists. So, in the days to come, I invite you to see what it is that is the prayer that rises to the top of the surface right now. And I bet it's already happened for you, and you've thought, no, not that one. Yep, it's that one. Just write it down and let it go. Let the prayer start to work. Let the support of your prayer base here, the body of prayer, work for you. I worked for Silent Unity in my 2nd year of ministerial school. And when we answered the phones, when people called in from all over the world, we said, this is Silent Unity. How may we pray with you? I wasn't Jill. I wasn't almost Reverend anybody. I was an anonymous voice representing a body of prayer. And that's how we prayed with people, affirmatively, that whatever was going on in their life, God was at work for that particular situation. And then we let it go. And then on my shift, I told this to our people that were here yesterday afternoon, your prayer supporters, your chaplains, that during my 8-hour shift, I had a 15-minute period and a 30-minute period where I went and sat in that room at the top of the Silent Unity building that always has a light shining in it for over 100 years. When they changed from the old building to the new building, and they carried a torch from one building to the other so that the light was never out. I would sit in that room, and I was surrounded by basket after basket after basket, big wire baskets filled with written prayer requests. We prayed over for 30 days. So they all had a date when they came in, so they know the date when they would go out. And to be surrounded by that faith and that prayer and all the prayers that had been going on for all these years. I was praying for them, but they were praying back. Because that's the way it works. And I didn't need to know. But prayer is the most powerful tool that we have to get through this life. The most powerful tool. And that's why today's talk was entitled Begin with Prayer. That's why our very first formal class was with your prayer support here. Now, you're going to have an opportunity at any point to join our prayer team if you would like to be part of that foundation of prayer that has maybe a daily prayer discipline, long or short, to pray for this community and beyond. If you feel called to be a chaplain in which you pray one-on-one with people and would like to learn how to do that, we're going to have another training or refresher on May 19th, Saturday. May 19th, yes. And so, if you feel called to that, and if you just now said, oh, no, I couldn't do that. Yeah, maybe you can. And so sign up and see. See if you're ready to go to that next level. You don't have to. But it's an opportunity for you to be part of our growing body of prayer. Just like Silent Unity, right here in Wimberley at our church, in this spiritual community. So, you want to pray? You want to meditate a little bit? Okay. I want you to notice, because I can see you. I want you to notice how quickly you can sink into that place in which the truth is your reality. Just be there. And you may have to say to yourself, all the rest of the things in my life that are trying to intrude, rest aside for a while, because I am dwelling here in this place. In which my perspective about life is transformed. This is the place in you that has always existed. It was there before your birth. It will be there when the body you inhabit leaves this earthly place. It is eternal and boundless. Believe that. Know that. Just breathe there. A nice deep breath in the peace and the truth of your innermost knowing. Breathe so your body gets used to that place. Breathe so that it can wash away that which is ready to go away. Breathe knowing that everyone gathered in this room and those who are joining us from other places know that our hearts are all linked together so that the strength of our knowing is exponential. If you will, with your eyes closed, just place your hand right there where you're feeling the truth. Maybe it's your heart, maybe it's your solar plexus. Just put your hand there. So that your body remembers that this is your precious self. All is well, beloved. All is well. And we give thanks this day for our remembering. We give thanks for the myriad ways in which we have been touched in this time that we've shared together. We give thanks for the transformation that is occurring even now. We give thanks for all of those things that are yet to manifest but are true. We give thanks, God. God within, God without. God as one. And if you are releasing anything today, just exhale. Just and so it is.